Hello everyone, welcome to Peterborough Services for a live Facebook Live and live Pinkham podcast. We're going to do both, kill two birds with one stone. My name's Michael Bailey, travelling back from Norwich City's 3-0 defeat at Huddersfield Town. I'm joined, of course, as always, by Chief Eastern Daily Press Norwich City correspondent Paddy Davitt. Afternoon, Pat? It's afternoon, isn't it? Before we get stuck into the football, I guess we need to talk about the big news, which, of course, has broken 12 o'clock on the dot, as if it was embargoed and time-bombed. Stuart Webber is Norwich City's sporting director, as we... It's probably been the worst-kept secret in football, hasn't it?
Yes, but long overdue in terms of a bit of good news, especially after last night's surrender. So, crack on. We're just looking at the statement here now. I mean, picking out some of the key quotes from Webber. I can't wait to get started. We've got a big job on our hands. I think we'd all agree on that one. Let's stick together, yeah, because I think there's been a lot of fractures this season inside the club and outside the club, so I think that's almost a rallying cry straight away. But the other key soundbite for me from him is there's a real carte blanche to go and do it as I believe it should be done. So he clearly has been given a blank sheet of paper, and you can see why, from a guy who's looking to progress his career, why Norwich with a carte blanche ticket would be attractive. But he's got a massive job on his hands, and again, we saw the evidence of that on Wednesday night. But you can't argue with the job he's done at Huddersfield, and we saw that firsthand yesterday. He appointed Webber, he got a lot of those loan players in. They obviously went and got a few players from the German market as well. Some of that magic dust hopefully he brings with him to Norfolk.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite clear there's a high expectancy on what Webber can do at Norwich, and the turnaround completely evidenced by what Huddersfield did. I find it interesting that he's able to use the word carte blanche as if, and it's probably right, and that's why he's at Norwich basically, because he's going to get the opportunity to, probably not what he quite had at Huddersfield, which is to own the ship and do it himself. It's a promotion for him, if anyone's still wondering why he would go from a club that's so upwardly mobile to Norwich, which upwardly mobile, not probably the two words you'd use to describe them at the moment. But to go on the record that he does have total control, and you know, he's a man who's been at a few clubs already, so he's clearly, you know, trying to progress his career and sees it as a really good, I think he mentions it himself, doesn't it, as a rebuilding, something he can prove that he can rebuild a club like Norwich, I guess, emphasising himself, it's a bigger rebuild than he's ever had to do before.
Next stage of his career. So he's an ambitious guy. You can see that from his career path and his relative youth as well. Now, he will see Norwich as a stepping stone, and let's be honest, he will see it to a stepping stone maybe to bigger things. But if he's going to do that, then that, you'd hope, in its train would mean Norwich are having a successful period, because, you know, his success will be tied to the fortunes of Norwich. But it is a major step up, I mean, this isn't a guy who's come from the same sort of remit at Huddersfield. I mean, they had a chief exec there. They've got a very hands-on chairman, Dean Hoyle, chairman/owner. He's not coming into that scenario. You know, he's not going to have that support network, and that would be the big imponderable, really. But I mean, the quotes there from the chairman, Ed Balls, that as soon as they decided that this was the structure they're going for, he was the guy they targeted. So they feel, and we know that they'll have sounded out people in the game, the Roy Hodgsons of this world, that this guy would appear to be on the up, and they've managed to go out and convince him to come and, as you say, on the face of it, maybe take a step back, because it looks like, on the evidence again of last night and the whole season, Huddersfield are going one way, Norwich are going the other way. But maybe he looks at it longer term, and that also, as I say, as we keep alluding to, that this is going to be his lock, stock and barrel operation. And you know, that's a big jump for the guy. But as I say, you know, ultimately now, it's the next stage is he's in the building. We knew he was in the building. It was just really, I suppose, getting yesterday's game out of the way. It's who he feels is going to be the head coach, because that's as key an appointment, I would suggest, because there's so much work to do with that current squad. And once the squad is settled and we're moving forward, then the head coach will really come into his own. So Alan Irving last night seemed to feel that he would already have a guy lined up, as is the nature of these things. I'm sure he's, you know, without sort of getting into too much legalese, I'm sure gardening leave wasn't him there tending to his rhododendrons.
I'm sure there was time for that as well.
I'm sure there was plenty more work going on in terms of A, head coach, and B, what happens needs to happen with this squad of players. You know, I don't think he's come in today officially, first day in the office, and he's getting to know people. He will know exactly what needs to happen with that squad, and you would hope, given his recent track record, he knows exactly what needs to happen with the head coach, because that is now, as Alan Irvin reiterated last night, essential. Okay, Weber's in the building, but we really need to get this head coach in the building and then crack on with what needs to be done over the summer.
I know that people worry if a player does well or if a manager does well that, you know, that you as a club will lose them because someone else will come along and poach them, but I still get that sense that could happen with Stuart Webber, yeah, if things go well. But surely the crux of the sporting director is they're the continuity. They're the person who is in it for the long haul. You want them to be long. You don't want him to come as a pair with a coach. You don't. He needs to be here through thick and thin to help, you know, the structure. As he said, it's carte blanche. The structure of the football club now is going to be rebuilt completely around Stuart Webber. He'll redo the scouting network, the recruitment. A lot of it will come down to him. Norwich need that to be done so that he is in place for a sizable period of time.
Sure. Yeah, I take your point. And we discussed this literally in the last hour or so on the drive back, that you contrast it with a Southampton where they got Les Reed there, who is clearly a permanent fixture. Maybe there's a generational thing. Les Reed is much, much older than Stuart Webber. Maybe he's now at a club where he's happy to sort of put down anchor, as it were, and feels that he's not using it as a stepping stone to get. Why would you? Southampton are, you know, top 10 Premier League club with ambitions to go higher.
I think Les Reed has done basically every job in football, yeah, hasn't he, as well? So exactly. He's been there and done it.
Exactly. So, you know, he's at the end of his career. This guy is clearly at the start of what he hopes is a very successful career. But it's an interesting point, yeah. Ultimately, you know, you're investing so much organisational mass into this one guy. If he's only, you look at his recent career path, 2 or 3 years at Wolves, 2 or 3 years at Liverpool, same now at Huddersfield. Yeah, I think it's naive to assume he's going to be now here at Carr Road for 5 to 10 years, unless it is a success and Norwich get into the Premier League and then stabilise in the Premier League, and then you are getting into a Southampton scenario. So I would imagine that City's top brass would feel that that's the way it's going to pan out. Of course, it might not, but, you know, to reiterate, if he's going to move on and he's going to move higher, then he's only going to do that if he's done a good job here at Norwich. And then you would hope, if he has done, he's leaving Norwich in a far healthier state than he's inheriting them at the minute.
I'm not deliberately putting off the chat about the game last night. So, but before we get into that, what does this do for the head coach role then now? As you said, that's now the next step. Obviously, they're going to be open about the fact that they will now start looking. I'm sure they've been quite aware of the situation, and Stuart Webber has been quite aware of the situation for a little while too. What does it mean? Who are we going to get? Is it going to be that, well, he knew who was going to replace David Wagner when he left at Huddersfield, so now Norwich will be in prime position for that? Or will it be someone else, a short list? What do you reckon? And how long is the key thing? Because, crumbs, we can't carry on like this for much longer, can we?
Well, no. And you saw the evidence of that again last night. And Alan Irvin, again, he didn't really allude to it. He made it quite clear that this uncertainty isn't doing the players any favours, the staff. Every day at Colney, it's almost like, well, what's next? What's happening next? There is now a little bit of clarity in terms of above the head coach role. That, you would hope, would settle things down. But you're right. But in that statement that's been released in the last few minutes, Alan Irvin remains in caretaker charge. That, to me, would and we'll get it confirmed, I'm sure, tomorrow at the pre-match for Reading, that he is now in charge beyond Reading, which was his current brief, take it to the end of the week. I think it's unrealistic to think that there'd be a new guy in place before Good Friday, isn't it, Fulham?
Yeah.
So I think for the foreseeable, and that could include between now and the end of the season, it's going to be an Alan Irvin. But at least now Webber's in situ officially, that I would feel that wheels will start to turn rather quickly. Now, in terms of, we don't know the contractual ins and outs to facilitate his move from Huddersfield. There might be a clause in there that he can't go back and get a Webber, for example. You know, it's not unheard of when managers leave clubs that they're not allowed to go back and recruit the players from the same clubs for a window or two. You know, it's only reasonable to assume that given he recruited Webber, they've been so successful that Webber would be on that shortlist. But as we saw last night, they're definitely going to be in the playoffs, and who knows that whether they get up or not, he's not going to be short of offers. So, not sure that's going to be a realistic alternative to go for. I mean, Uwe Rosler was linked. Apparently, he was on the shortlist before they went for Wagner, doing a great job at Fleetwood. You can see why that name is in the frame. But it's interesting now. You know, it's interesting that now we have some clarity, and if Webber is what we think he is, which is a very astute operator, he will be a long way down the road to finding Norwich's new head coach.
And given he does have carte blanche, it's fair to say that Weber is going to have a pretty decent say in terms of the players who do stay and who do go, in a way. And it's not going to be about impressing the head coach. These guys are actually going to have to impress Stuart Weber, because he'll be the man who's sanctioning contracts. He'll be the man who's sanctioning options for players to stay. And he'll be the one who's saying, sorry, we don't need you anymore. So actually, in a way, maybe Norwich have already got that person they need to impress. Yeah. Whether it will quite feel like that, because it is a different structure, is maybe the sticking point.
Yeah, and on that point, again, we'll probably await over the next few days and weeks the actual clarity of it. Again, Alan Irvine alluded to when he was a head coach at West Brom, it was a very straightforward relationship. There's the players, you get on and coach them. He had no say whatsoever, no input whatsoever into recruitment, into even the players who were retained. Now, if that is the model Norwich are adopting, and it's very much Stuart Weber will tell their head coach, there's your set of players, get on and coach them, then it is all about impressing Stuart Weber, because he holds the power in terms of whether players who are here at the minute stay, whether they go, who comes into the club. If there's going to be a bit more of a nuanced relationship in terms of the head coach and they do have an input into recruitment, then less so. But ultimately, yeah, Stuart Weber, as a club have been at pains to stress, is at the very apex now, this football model. Everybody will report into him. That's the head coach, Ricky Martin, technical director, Richard Money at the academy. So he is ultimately the final sayer in terms of the football side of the business. So, yeah, I would imagine if I was an Norwich player now this afternoon listening to this news as it broke, you would be thinking, right, that is the guy I need to get on side.
And you'd probably also not watch a replay of last night's game, where Norwich were done 3-0 by Huddersfield. Three goals in 7 minutes. Second half capitulation. All the stuff you've seen before. You don't really know. Don't worry about that. This is the part in the podcast where you can hear from Alan Irvine and Russell Martin.
We were enjoying a good spell, and in actual fact, leading up to the goal, we were in a really promising position, and we lost possession. It may have been a free kick. From there, it was a simple long ball, which we talked about, because whilst Huddersfield are a good team in terms of making passes, they will play in behind you if you leave space in behind. There wasn't actually any space. Ryan Bennett should have covered it, made a mistake, and that cost us a goal. And then probably what sums up a lot of the performances this year is that we went from being in a decent position, being in a promising position within the game, to caving in, and that is something that whoever comes in is going to have to remedy, because it's obviously a characteristic in the team at this time which has to change. Obviously Alex has tried to find ways of solving that problem. He's changed personnel a number of times because he's thinking that it might be about individuals, but unfortunately it's something that seems to be through the team at this time, and it's just not acceptable.
We become desperate. We haven't dealt well enough with expectation levels this year. You know, I have to come out here and speak again as captain. I'll get peppered from pillars post for that, but someone's got to come and do it. But like you said, we should be experienced enough to do that. The team's full of international players with Premier League experience, but what happens when you're in the Premier League, you have to Monday to Friday, for the Saturday you have to work extremely hard because everything's scrutinised. You come to the Championship and you're not under so much pressure, you're not scrutinised as much, and I think there's been as a group bit of apathy, and I think we've whether it's conscious or subconsciously, people relax because it's you're not if you Monday to Friday have to work so hard in the Premier League because you get exposed on the Saturday. I think we're guilty this year of, as a group, myself, everyone included. When I say we, I don't mean everyone else. We're guilty of that for sure. Let's be honest now, we're at this stage of the season where we can't cover, you know, you can't paper over the cracks and all that. Things need to change. I said that in the dressing room. We've become too accepting of that. The standards have dropped. We hid behind a manager for 8 months and he was gone. Everyone blamed him. Not much has changed. We did okay for two or three games without. Even on Saturday, I thought we played really well, but you get beat. We dominated the game. And then this happens again tonight, and it shows what we've been about all season, and that's it's embarrassing for our football club. Alan's done brilliant, I would say, since he's taken it on the training pitch and stuff. We've done him a disservice tonight. Saturday we got beat, but I actually thought we'd dominate him. Like I said, we played okay. We've let him down tonight because he's a good guy. He's worked extremely hard, and what we've said in there as a group, he's agreed with. It's taken us this long to be honest, and it's yeah, whatever happens, whenever the club decide to do it, you know, there'll be some change and everyone has to step up to the plate. It's as simple as that.
It is difficult. There's absolutely no question about that. I didn't think it would last as long as it has. And my view is that something needs to be done sooner rather than later, because clearly there's some work to be done in terms of starting to build for next season. I've not changed my mind as far as you know, doing what the club want me to do. I obviously need to find out what it is that they want me to do and kind of go from there, make a decision from there. But no, I've not changed as far as that's concerned. I said right from the beginning that there probably needed to be action fairly soon. I never think it's a great situation to have somebody as a caretaker for any length of time, because the players are waiting for the new person to come in, and that's something that once that happens, then they know exactly where they stand. At this moment, they're in a state of flux, and so are all the staff.
Last night's game, Pads. I mean, it was okay for so long, and then it was so bad for the rest of it. It literally probably could have been 6 or 7 by the end.
Well, I mean, ultimately, it just shows the complete and utter lack of confidence. They're so fragile now that, you know, they might have eked out a draw, but it would have been more through Huddersfield not being able to apply the killer punch, as it were. And as soon as they got the first goal, aided again massively by Norwich's own shortcomings defensively, then it was just a case of how many. The nature, the speed of the collapse. But we saw it at Sheffield Wednesday, we saw it at Brighton. You know, this set of players, I'm afraid to say, in most cases, are not good enough now. You know, and it's not a confidence thing. I just think that in terms of their ability to play the game required to be at the top end of the Championship, when we saw it, it was a brutal demonstration in terms of a team over the hill and a team on the way up, you know, in the manner of how they set about the task, the tempo, the intensity, the pace in wide areas, everything that Huddersfield are, Norwich aren't at the minute. And that's why, you know, there is a gulf between them, maybe not in terms of league places, but certainly in terms of ambition in the short term. And you know, if we didn't know it already, we did know it already. I mean, it was just further confirmation after what we saw at Villa. You know, the same players making the same mistakes. Not solely defensively, because again, they've, you know, for a second game running now, they've not really troubled to score at the other end. So it would be harsh just to completely focus on defensively. But 43 goals and counting now conceded on the road, I personally wouldn't be at all unhappy to see all of that. Bar maybe Pinto, Dykes isn't going to be here, let's be honest. Bar Pinto, all those other defenders and keepers out the door. But that's Jack Inori. That's not the way it's going to be, because the nature of contracts and the difficulty of bringing players in, as much as shipping players out, I'm afraid some of those defenders will still be around the club at the start of August. But you hope against hope that there's a few new defensive faces as well, because they're simply not fit for purpose, and that was proved again last night, as it has been periodically on the road.
I've been short of replays, so I haven't really seen things. I'm not entirely convinced Norwich got the rub of the green in some of the decisions, but the fact that Huddersfield basically played at twice the speed of Norwich all evening, the difference in possession in terms of zipping the ball about to labouring, was just stark. I mean, goodness knows what it was like watching it on the telly, because it must have been pretty horrendous. And when you talk about same players making the same mistakes, I mean, it was literally the same mistake from Ryan Bennett.
Consistent.
We've been looking for that consistency all season. Yet, Ryan Bennett, out of all the defensive players and decisions to be made, is the one where you'd think, well, maybe we should get that option and keep him at the club. So, I mean, just underlines the task at laying ahead. And the goalkeeper too, Michael McGovern. Yeah. I mean, what do we do there?
I'm not convinced by him, and haven't been all season. He's an excellent, well, maybe excellent's too strong, but he's a very good shot stopper on his day. But stature-wise, he just doesn't command his area. The amount of balls that go into the box, and you got your heart in your mouth, really, because you know he's going to spill one or he's going to come through a crowd scene. There was the one at Villa where he got nowhere near it, and it ended up Ryan Bennett did head it off the line. Then I think Hourihane put it back on via the bar and over the top. It's a regular occurrence, and that can't inspire any confidence in the defenders in front of him because they know that this guy isn't going to command his area. You'd have to think maybe where Norwich want to be and where they want to go, he isn't good enough, I'm afraid. And we've had this discussion. John Ruddy isn't the keeper he was, but I think he's still better than McGovern. Massive decisions there. So really, back end of the pitch particularly, but all areas of that squad now, Stuart Webber, he's got a massive job on his hands because it isn't good enough at the minute, and he hasn't got a lot of time, really. You know, we're saying this, well, you know, if they get him in place by the start of the summer, that'll be fine. But the way modern football is now, those decisions will be getting taken now up and down the land. There will be clubs already well advanced in recruitment and then ready to actually action certain things once, you know, the window opens officially in the summer. If Norwich are getting to the start of the summer, end of this season, and they're still not sure, they're behind the curve. They need to be on it now. And I think everything we know about Webber, clearly recruitment he would appear to be very strong on. So that is the one positive for me in this announcement today, is that they've now got a guy in place who knows what the market is about, how to make best use of it, make best use of his resources. And with the greatest will in the world, he should have more resource here at Norwich than he had at Huddersfield.
Hopefully.
You would think so. I mean, it's a different set of problems, maybe. A lot of high-earning players here. I'm not sure Huddersfield, he would have had that scenario where he had to sort of deal with one or two who were surplus to requirements but still on decent contracts. You know, time will tell if he's got the ability to sort of take on a new recruitment dimension, as it were. But, yeah, in terms of McGovern, I think there's a big issue with the keeping scenario because, you know, if you're not keeping John Ruddy, Declan Rudd, is he going to come back and force his way in? Remy Matthews is probably still a bit too far away from it to be first choice. But that's just one area. You know, defensively we've talked about midfield. I think there's going to be interest in one or two of their midfielders rather than lads they can kick out the door. I think, unfortunately, there's going to be one or two clubs who might want to come and tempt a Howson or a Pritchard. That's another dimension to the recruitment aspect. And then maybe even Oliveira, you know, does he fancy playing second fiddle to Cameron Jerome? You know, so many issues, so many unresolved questions at the minute, and the hard work starts now, I think.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you for your messages. It's quite hard to read all the comments from here, but I think we had one from Steve Trivett was saying, thank goodness Norwich have got more than 50 points on the board, otherwise he'd start getting a little bit twitchy, which is understandable. We had breakfast with your Huddersfield Town supporting friend who said, oh, Norwich, there used to be a team that zipped the ball around really nicely and were quick and pacey, and it's all gone. He also, I think we mentioned that Yannick Vilt should tore Wigan apart earlier this season. Doesn't really look like doing that this year. I mean, £7 million for Yannick, bless him. He looks like he's struggling with the weight of that price tag a tad at the moment. And the difficult thing is, as you touched on, Alex Pritchard plays there at the John Smith Stadium last night. Looks very decent, not involved enough in the game for me, but when he was, he was bright and sharp. Looked Norwich's brightest spark on a television audience in a summer where he'll be thinking, what am I going to be doing? You know, where do I really want to be here? And likewise, if Norwich need money to help rebuild, they're going to have to figure out where the money comes from.
Well, we discussed it again in the car this morning. Who was he heading to before he got turned around by Russell Martin on the M25 last summer? Brighton. Where are Brighton going to be next season? Premier League. Don't be at all surprised if Brighton come back with a cheeky offer. And if you're Alex Pritchard, do you fancy going playing for Brighton in the Premier League or an uncertain future at Norwich? That's just purely hypothetical. But clearly there will be clubs who will look at Norwich's better players and who they can sort of take out. And he would fall into that category because his best years are still ahead of him. And unfortunately, that isn't the case with a lot of these Norwich players. And you're right, yeah, they will need to generate funds. If that was the case in January, then they've had no fresh income streams between now and then. So it stands to reason, if you want to bring players in, you're going to have to generate funds. Yes, there's a swathe of out-of-contracts who will free up money on a wage bill. But in terms of transfer fees, I think it's going to have to be sell to buy, yeah.
Oh, how exciting. Well, it's Reading next. I mean, Norwich are 10th, are they, at the moment, in the table? How bad is this going to get? How bad is it? I mean, because, you know, they're not a million miles away from... God, this is downbeat, isn't it? Not a million miles away from being in the bottom half of the table, in all honesty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, without a shadow of a doubt. And looking at the running, teams with everything to fight for. Simon Grayson's in the crowd last night. Preston on Easter Monday. Well, I think we know how that's going to pan out. Fulham will come to Carr Road, you know, desperate for points. They seem to be locked in a fight with Sheffield Wednesday for that sixth spot. Brighton, that'll be their coronation, no doubt. you know, you can paint a scenario where it might only be another win or two, and another win or two added to the current points tally isn't probably going to get them anywhere higher than about 10th. So, but as I say now, I think it's what I'd like to see now between now and the end of the season, given that, you know, this is gone, done, dusted, move on. Let's see a Madison, let's see a Godfrey even, you know, because they're the lads who are going to be stepping up next season. And you saw it with Huddersfield, and if that is a Weber influenced side, there's youth there. Peter Billing in the middle of the park, he's a Huddersfield product, you know, really looks a good prospect. Young lad, plenty of other players, Tommy Smith, he looks a good player. You know, there's a nice mix of youth and experience there at Huddersfield. If that's what he's looking to replicate here, then let's see these lads, because game time now, between now and the end of the season, okay, Norwich haven't got anything materially to play for, but any exposure that those lads can get in the Championship, I think, would help them moving into next season. So, yeah, with the greatest will in the world, I think we know what Stephen Naismith offers, and on the balance of his career so far, it isn't enough. So, let's see a James Maddison, you know. Do we need to see Wes? Well, we know what Wes is all about. No, let's see a James Maddison for me. Let's see a Godfrey. Jacob, okay, he's had a pretty gruelling run of it, but Josh could get some exposure. If we're going to salvage anything from these remaining six games, then I think that's one area they could look to do something with.
I think they have to, because the current group, with their mental state, yeah, it's just pointless. To be honest, they look beaten up, yeah, in truth. That's how it looks. Okay, well, I suppose if Norwich looked like Huddersfield this time next year, we'd be all right, wouldn't we?
Say that, I'd sign for that now, yeah. I mean,
it's phenomenal what they've done. I mean, I don't know the longevity of it. I don't know if David Wagner leaves that club in the summer if they don't go up, and it becomes so much harder for them to sustain, yeah, what they've done, because it's been so quick. It's been done with a lot of loans and with, yeah, a lot of canny signings, which of course is why Stuart Webber is at Norwich now. So how sustainable it is, but where they are now, it's phenomenal, really.
No, I mean, they finished 19th last season. So from that to where they are now, which was up until maybe the last couple of games where they had a blip, pushing for the top two, comfortably will make the playoffs, and then as Norwich showed, it's really about holding your nerve in the playoffs. You know, it's not inconceivable that Huddersfield are in the Premier League next season. Now, if they are, that would be an unbelievable testament to the work Weber's done and Wagner's done. But yeah, I take your point. Moy again destroyed Norwich last night. Well, he's on loan from Man City. Kachunga, loan, but they've confirmed that into a permanent. But you know, some of those key players will be going back to their respective clubs in the summer. But, you know, if that was the case, they're actually building from a much higher base than Norwich would be if they are still in the Championship. We've just heard Gary Rowett on TalkSport driving back down. You know, Derby are going to be around about it. Villa clearly are a club who are not going to be hanging about the Championship for any length of time. The clubs who come down, OK, they'll have to do a rebuild, but they'll have the resource. You know, this isn't going to get any easier next season. So, yeah, to go back to your original question there, if you offered me Norwich at this stage of next season in the playoffs, then you'd sign for it, I think.
Well, at least they've made the first step towards doing that, I guess, is what today is all about. I think we should sign off there, because our coffees are going to be getting cold. Thanks all for watching. Thank you very much, Pad. Sorry we didn't get through your questions. I'll try and put the camera a bit closer next time, but we do really appreciate the comments, and obviously we'll get involved on those on the Facebook page next time. But you know where to find us for all our post-match stuff. Also, thanks for those listening on the Pinkham podcast. You know how to subscribe, but find out all the details at pinkham.com. We're going to go home. We're going to enjoy Reading. You can see all the build-up and analysis on that one around about the game. And, of course, live coverage at pinkham.com/live. Until then, thank you very much and goodbye. Cheers, Pat.
Cheers.